So anyway, I'm a stubborn old goat, me. I've rebooted a couple of times and we'll see how it goes. If it drops out again, I'm going to put the microphone away and work on the radio show for 5 o'clock and hope that everything is sorted by then. I'll jump straight into it. Excuse me. I won't do too much of a roll call here. Mentioned one or two I didn't mention earlier on. Jim Bob Jr., eh? Are you wearing dungarees, Jim Bob Jr.? Dungarees, eh? Dungarees. Hi to Coca Bell. How you doing, kid? To Ted Watts. How you doing, Ted? That's all you can do, Ted, is try your best. If at first you don't succeed, piss off down the boozer, is generally the theory where I come from. Forget this try and try again, Lark. Piss off down the boozer and wait for a phone call from somebody to say it's back working. Then down your pint, then have another one, and then go back to work. It's how it works. The big bald Irish goon, yeah. Yeah. Hi to Wide Awake Radio, to Paul Alawi. Yeah, to Fred Luce, who says Gremlins this morning. Gotta roll with the punches. Gotta roll with the punches. It's an extraordinary thing. Doing this job, making radio in the way in which I make radio, is an extraordinary thing. On the one hand, you've got the best of everything. Technically, the best equipment that is available today in a world-class studio, but you're on your own. That's how it is in the indie media. You're on your own, no producer, no editor, and more importantly, no engineer to hand. Although Paul Ripley's an amazing man, and will always come out to see me the following day. It's just one of those things. And most presenters then, like me, are generally in the dark when it comes to when things go wrong. Today it's obvious. The internet keeps dropping in and out. You couldn't do anything about that anyway. But if there was a patch needed, a bit of software needs tweaking, stuff like that, I wouldn't have a clue. And that's the way it goes. Morning to Richard Willett, the filmmaker extraordinaire. How you doing, Richard? Looking forward to that documentary coming out. Extreme Danger, Extreme Hypnosis, coming out in September. It is Extreme Danger, Extreme Hypnosis. It's not Extreme Hypnosis, Extreme Danger, is it, Richard? This is what insomnia will do. This is what insomnia will do. Geraldine Mitchell says, Richie, did you not pay the Virgin bill? Always pay my bills. Always pay my bills. It's direct debit anyway, Geraldine. No, I don't make a decision on not to pay it. We're not due till about the middle of the month anyway, as far as I understand. Right then, let's dispense with the pleasantries because I'm going to see the first ball bowled in anger in the ashes at Edgbaston at 11 o'clock. Come hell or high water. So we'll go straight to the papers, if I can find them. Can I find them? Oh, holy God. Here we go. Yeah, I found them. I rebooted everything. See? Let's start off with the eye paper. Britain is beating plastic bags. I didn't know that we were in some sort of competition with plastic bags, but we were, unbeknownst to me, and we're winning. Don't know what the score is, but we're beating plastic bags. There's a lovely image of a turtle there. Did I ever tell you I spent a little bit of time in Costa Rica in Central America and that I visited a turtle conservation project which aims to help turtles lay their eggs and aims to keep poachers away from the turtle eggs but also the hatchlings to give them a better chance? An amazing thing really in Costa Rica, and I was there for a bit, not for a long while, but for a bit. That's the eye paper. What it's really about is that since they introduced a charge on plastic bags in the UK, which I understand was also introduced in Ireland, we're not using as many plastic bags. We have about 7 or 8 of the really big heavy-duty bags for life. They're in the car. They're in the car in the Megane estate, my big sexy Renault Megane estate, my big housewife mobile that I drive around with a bag over my head. They're in the back of the car. We don't get plastic bags anymore. That's the difference between dirtying and damaging the environment and putting animals at risk and climate change. They are two totally different things. Climate change, anthropogenic climate change, is a nonsense. It is a lie. Harming the environment of animals, destroying marine life, is real. And it has to stop, of course. And let's be honest about it. The plastic bag thing was a good idea, right? Not that... I mean, what the supermarkets did was they put the price into the cost of their goods anyway. Bastards. Let's have a look at the Daily Mail front page today, while we're still on. While we're still on the air. Is that big baldy bollock still going on, is he? I am. Here I am. Same in the Mail. Plastic bag use halves in just a year. Gotta love the Mail. Astonishing triumph for Mail campaign. It was the Daily Mail, see. The Daily Mail dreamt it up. Let's try and rid ourselves of plastic bags. Yeah, I'm not sure the Daily Mail gets all the credit there. Bizarre story about that Cambridge student falling out of that plane, right? Apparently there's even video of it. Jesus. Was it suicide, was it? I don't know. Army trains keyboard warriors for digital war. In the Telegraph. Yeah. There's Joe Root, the England captain, with the urn. Don't know what he's doing with it. Australia are the current holder of the Ashes. Tim Payne should have it in his hand. But there's Joe looking wistfully at the urn. Battle commences this morning. Birmingham, Edgbaston. And then those feet in ancient times. Yeah. The Ashes. We'll come back to the Army Trains Keyboard Warriors for Digital War. We'll come back to that. The Guardian. Labour attacks appalling waste as Prime Minister adds £2 billion to no deal fund. Yeah. Clean up underway after downpours in Yorkshire. 7 or 8 inches of rain in a few hours. Couple of months of rain. Well, it must be climate change. It's climate change. Because we've never had downpours, ever. We've never had 8 inches of rain in a few hours, ever, apparently. And we've never had floods, ever. We have. It's the weather. The weather. It's not climate change. It's the weather. It's horrible. And your sympathy is with those people whose houses are under 3-4 feet of water now. Water is so destructive. You feel desperately sorry for them. And you wish them well. Front page of the Times, again, I'll come back to it in a minute. Suspects in sex crimes should be anonymous. Also on the front page of the Times, well, I'll be damned. City drops swearing ban. And I'll come back to that one in a minute as well, because it concerns yours truly. It concerns me, the big baldy gammon. Superstar DJ, baldy gammon. I'm completely okay with my baldiness because I'm gorgeous. And when you know you're gorgeous, it doesn't matter whether you have hair or not. Absolutely gorgeous me, especially today. I can't believe how well I'm looking. Metro, heir to Bin Laden dead. We'll come back to that again. This is Hamzin Bin Laden. Is that his name? Hamza Bin Laden. The heir to Bin Laden. The heir to the cave. Do you remember Donald Rumsfeld, that lying bastard? Can I bring it up? I'm going to try and do it now, Bin Laden. Super cave. Oh, used to work with a guy. Yeah. Can we get the super cave? I think we can. Here we go. The power of Tinternet. And then those feet. Do you remember this? What's that guy's name, Charlie? What's his name? American journalist. Do you remember years ago, in 2001, he interviewed Donald Rumsfeld, then defense secretary, about how Bin Laden had pulled off the crime of the century. The crime of the century. bringing down three buildings, crashing another plane into the ground, killing all those people. How did he do it? Well, he did it because he was inspired by Goldfinger and Blofeld and Zorin, Max Zorin, and apparently Bin Laden in the Tora Bora Mountains designed that. Designed that. Look at it. Donald Rumsfeld sat down. What's the guy's name? Charlie Rose? Thank you, Paul. Charlie Rose. And Rumsfeld famously said, do you remember? And there's not one of those. There's many of those. There's many of those super caves. Super caves. And the big fat Yanks with their big fat fucking faces eating their massive fucking cheeseburgers believed every word of it. Cognitive dissonance? No. 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 Your ability to think critically, gone. Imagine people in Maryland, Baltimore, San Diego. Jesus, did you see, of course they speak in American accents. Did you see that cave that Bin Laden has? Fucking hell, huh? Jesus Christ, huh? Did you buy another shotgun? Did you buy another semi-automatic weapon, did you? And buy one for the baby as well. Yeah, yeah. This is the stuff, you see. This is the madness. How did Jennifer Garcia? There's not one of those. There are many of those, said Donald Rumsfeld. McInerney, the great Irish builder, couldn't fucking build one of those things inside a mountain. The O'Reillys, Torquay builders, legendary. Mr. O'Reilly couldn't build that. Given 100 years and 1,000 fucking men couldn't build that. This is what people believed. You have to suspend your disbelief. It's not even you suspend your disbelief to believe that. Over there. Crazy. Marvellous. The mountain fortress of Bin Laden. And from this fortress, which had all of these weapon systems and cooling systems and drainage and toilets and bunk beds and a four-poster bed in Bin Laden's master bedroom where he shagged 100 virgins every night before going to bed just to relieve the stress of masterminding the operation. The jihad. They believed it. People believed it. So anyway, his son is dead. We'll come back to that as well. That's the Metro. What else? Oh... The Star, Flappy Hour. The Seagulls are at it again. They're drunk on their power. Seagulls. Having kidnapped Chihuahuas and Labradoodles and other dogs that fit into handbags. Now they're hovering over beer gardens and they're saying, if we want that fucking pint, we'll have it. If we want that packet of pork scratchings, we'll have it. And they're... It's a pexclusive in the Daily Star. Seagulls. I mean, if you can blame... No, I'm not going to go down that road because I might get into trouble. The Financial Times. Fed cuts rates by 0.25 and signals more easing if needed. The Fed, by the way, is a bunch of banksters who... were given control of the US nation's money supply by President Woodrow Wilson. Yes, yes, in the early part of the 20th century. Why would you do that? This is a bunch of gangsters, banksters, mass murderers, lawyers and frauds. Five banks that control the US money supply. It's the thing that nobody will ever talk about in the mainstream media. That's in the Financial Times. In the Mirror, I'm proof kids must be banned from playing the lotto. This girl won £18 million or £1.8 million when she was 16 playing the lotto and she went doolally. Doolally, children, is a northeastern colloquialism for, well, she went a bit mad. Well, why wouldn't she? £1.8 million. If I'd have been given £1.8 million when I was 16, I wouldn't be here now. I would have lived another 3 months. I'd have gone through about 200 to 300 litres of Bacardi. liver would have evaporated, and that would have been the end of me. And I would have left some money for my mammy, and I would have left some money for my granny, and that would have been it. What a way to go. The son, Wat Van Man. Apparently a guy who's sick of stuff being stolen out of his van. He's obviously a tradesman. Has wired up the van. So if you try to break into it, you get an electric shock. Good for him. It's in the sun. Cut stamp duty to fix homes crisis is the story on the front page of the Daily Express. Well, first-time buyers in the United Kingdom are exempt from stamp duty anyway. I've not read this, but I need to read it because I don't understand that. If you're a person, single person or a coupled person, and you're going to get a mortgage, which is fraudulent anyways, I well know, you are exempt from stamp duty if it's the first time you're buying a house. We were exempt from it. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'll have a look at it. Anyway, what else is going on then? Let's have a quick look through the comments, and then I'm going to breeze through a few stories. Hi to Dr. Bill, who says seagulls are taking over the world. Hi to Susan Hayward Tonkin. How are you doing, Susan? Kookaburras steal your steak off your fork, do they? Why not? Fantastic. I like that. I like, you know, you walk down, you go to Southport. You go to Southport and you walk down the pier and you get some of those lovely hot donuts. And there's a chance if you walk down the pier and if you hold the donuts like this in your left hand, and you're eating them like that, seagulls will swoop down and will have a go. Sean Inchcliffe mentioned the dialysis machine. That's right. Bin Laden was known to have kidney failure and regularly had treatment for it. We also know that he was known as Tim Osman by the CIA. Osama bin Laden was a great friend of the American intelligence services. Of course, we know this. They gave him arms, they gave him money, and they gave him training when the Afghan nation, when Afghanistan, of course, was engaged with Russia. We know this. We know this. By the way, if you're American, forgive my earlier generalization about being overweight and eating cheeseburgers. It's a joke. It's no different in the States, laziness, than it is anywhere else. Good stuff. Right. Quick few stories. It's going to be quick this today. I've loads to do. Besides trying to see a bit of cricket, I've lots to do. I have some research to do. Biometrics in school. The great Pippa King is on the show today, as is Anna Brees, who's a great journalist, has worked for BBC and ITV, is doing a lot of work with helping others to become citizen journalists. And she's doing a lot more than that. So they are the guests on the show today from 5 o'clock. Please God, we won't have any interruption. I hope we don't. Harry Hewitt's in the press today. Harry Hewitt is in the press today. Prince Harry gives barefoot speech at secretive Google Camp climate change conference in Italy in front of A-list crowd, including Leo DiCaprio and Naomi Campbell. As it's revealed, celebrities arrived on a total of 114 private jets. Yeah. Harry gave a speech barefoot, did he? About climate change. Did anybody there put their hand up and say, "Excuse me, you ginger twat, but what the fuck do you know about climate change, climatology, meteorology, geology? What do you know about it, you daft little bastard?" One of your security guards probably finished your exam papers at Eton. Come on, pal. You haven't got a Scooby-Doo about what's going on in our stratosphere. So what are you doing here, you... But of course they didn't. They probably gave him a healthy round of applause, the Duke of Sussex and his dreadful wife. Yeah. So, Harry Hewitt. Anything else on Harry? And that story, there he is, the big buffoon. Look at him, look. Tech giants and celebrities flooded to Sicily to show off their green credentials, driving 114 private jets. Flying 114 private jets, of course. They really care about climate change. 'Twas just a piss up in Sicily. A piss up. The great and the good. The great and the good. I wonder our alternative types, alternative right types, you know, the alt-right types, those who love Donald Trump and who love Nigel Farage, and many of them love Tommy Robinson. They must be properly pissed off today. Have you ever heard of Glorious Goodwood? Glorious Goodwood. Well, Goodwood's a racing festival that's going to take place real soon. Horse racing. The GGs. Had a bit of look on the GGs, Major. Would you mind this for me? Yeah, of course, Faulty. The Major. Of course, the Major then forgets that he's minding Faulty's winnings, and hilarity ensues in one of the great episodes of Faulty Towers. What was the name of the horse? Dragonfly, wasn't it? Dragonfly, yes. The great Connie Booz, what an actress she was, is, but was in Faulty Towers. But look at the Gigi's. Do you remember Faulty? You remember, Major, I gave it to you earlier, the money, you remember? I don't remember that old boy. The Major. Right, so the Gigi's, Glorious Goodwood, well, Tommy Robinson, if Tommy wasn't in jail, this would have never happened. A Muslim wearing a hijab on a horse at Goodwood. Ah, our culture is being destroyed. Our culture is being destroyed by these invaders. Ah! This is Khadija Mella. She's a London lass. And for a few years, she's been riding horses at an inner city riding school in London, somewhere near Brixton, I think. And apparently she's pretty good on a horse, is young Khadija. And she's going to take her place in a novice race, a novice chase, I think it's called. I don't know much about horse racing. and she'll be the first person, well, woman, obviously, ever to race wearing a hijab. And the right is melting down into a pool of gelatinous goo. It's brilliant to watch. She shouldn't be allowed wearing a fucking hijab. Ah! Why not? Good luck to the kid. Glorious Goodwood. She's challenging stereotypes about Muslim women. So there's a lot of virtue signalling. Not from the kid now, but from her supporters. You know, she's not challenging any stereotypes. I never thought that a Muslim woman couldn't get up on a horse and ride it. And canter and trot and race. Never occurred to me to think that a Muslim woman couldn't do it. She's wearing a hijab. Fair enough. I've gotten over the fact that last year a woman wearing a hijab smashed into my fucking Ford Focus estate and nearly killed me. You love, you come on here for intellectual analysis of the news and you get nothing like that, do you? You just get fucking carnage, nonsense, bad language, and me gooning around, clowning around for a half an hour. That's what you get. And I intend to talk seriously about stuff when I come on. I genuinely do. Geraldine says it's a change from racing camels. Midnight at the Oasis. Send your camel to bed. Anyway, there you are. So they're melting down on the right. Tommy's in prison. When Tommy heard in prison, he kicked off royally, and now he's in now he's in the hole. They put him in the hole. Down to the hole for you, Tommy. Do you know how I torture Tommy in prison? I'd staple his eyelids to his fucking forehead and I'd make him watch the race. Who on, Tommy? Chubby. Chubby Robinson. Oh, Chubby, Chubby. Chubby, spike it up for the little guy. Tommy's a racist scumbag. Never be under any illusion. What else have we got for you? Yeah. So, hi to Maureen McAleer. How you doing, Maureen? To High Tech Hippie. Says, Tommy is a Zionist stooge. Well, that's where his money comes from. Gabriel Swift says 40 towers is too politically incorrect for today's snowflakes. You've got that right. You've got that right. There's a famous scene where the Major talks about seeing an Indian at the Oval. And then he uses the word wog, doesn't he, to talk about West Indian people, I think. Unacceptable. I mean, why would anybody use that term? But the term was widely used back then by people to describe people. People described other people in very off-colour, no pun intended, ways. And it was just the way Alf Garnett and all that stuff, those people existed, those older people. But they weren't evil people. They weren't racist to the bone people. They just had ways of expressing themselves and ways of referring to people, which we wouldn't use now because they are insensitive and they're a bit silly, right? But we shouldn't censor those comedy programmes from that era, Porridge and all the rest of it, just because things were said. Those programmes define their era. They're educational in some way. But you're right, there have been movements to censor some of those old episodes of 40 Towers, Reginald Perrin, The Fall and Rise, all that stuff. Oh yeah, there are lunatics out there. We shouldn't have to hear that. Well, don't watch it then. This is how people spoke in the 60s and 70s. Alrighty, alrighty. Marvellous. Jesus Jones says, Tommy Robinson is unlawfully in prison and we mustn't forget that. That's monumental bollocks, Jesus. He is lawfully in prison. Right? Lawfully. I don't agree with him being in prison, but he broke the law. Yes. He broke it more than once. Yes. Yes. You see? He did. He live streamed, having been told that 29 people were on trial across different courthouses. Trials that are happening consecutively. And we must not prejudice juries in forthcoming trials that are connected by going on to Facebook and declaring people to be guilty and threatening to go around their houses, by the way, which Robinson did. He's a dirty, rotten little scumbag. He's Tommy Robinson. I'm non-violent. I don't believe in violence, but I can take care of myself. I'd love 5 minutes with him. See how hard he really is. This guy who runs up behind people at football matches and punches them to the ground. Little tough guy. Yeah, Tommy Robinson. 15 seconds is all I need with him. 15 seconds. Lawfully convicted, Robinson. Lawfully convicted. I wouldn't have put him in prison. He would have gotten an absolutely final warning from me. As I've said on my radio show, do it again, you dirty little bastard, and I'll put you away for 2 years. That's what I would have said. I've interviewed those who expose it. He's never exposed anything. Maybe he's exposed himself, maybe, on some of his boozy nights out, but he's never exposed anything. He's not a journalist. He's not uncovered anything ever. He is a nothing, a nothing. He is a tool of the elite who want to divide and conquer people, who want people to assign themselves to identity groups. That's all he is. Wretched little scumbag and woman beater. Let's never forget that. Don't get me started on him. I don't want to get into that. Rotten little man. Right, here's another story. Salford has dropped a ban on swearing, which was introduced a couple of years ago. Right? Free speech campaigners celebrated last night after the city council scrapped its ban on swearing, which hadn't led to a single fine. Not one single fine, would you believe? Huh? Not one. But they've gone now, kaput. That's what the French do. Gone. No more swearing ban in Salford. Nobody was fined. Came in 2016, this. It was a nonsense. And speaking of free speech, I mean, that was an affront to free speech. Most people are fundamentally good, even people who do swear. And I'm known to swear on the odd occasion. And when I'm around other people, particularly people I don't know, it's not a women and children thing. I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to virtue signal. But when I'm around people I don't know, I generally tend to watch my P's and Q's. Yeah, of course, you're not going to be swearing around children. Most people have a bit of self-control. There wasn't any need to introduce any swearing ban and threaten to fine people. But anyway, they never fined anybody, and it's off the books now. This is the Telegraph front page story, which you really should read, and you don't have to go to the Telegraph, which is a paying site, to read it, because the Daily Mail has basically taken the story, rewritten it themselves, and you can read it on the Daily Mail's website if you want, or on the Daily Mirror's website. The British Army is to engage in social media warfare, according to its most senior soldier. A new division of the military will be dedicated to fighting cyber threats. General Ivan Jones. A very interesting story. And it touches on many issues that we touch on the Richie Allen radio show. Okay? Talking about information warfare and fake news and all sorts of stuff like that. It's fascinating, this. It's really going to be a military... It's the military engaging in censorship, effectively. It's one of the big things about this. The military employing people to engage in wholesale censorship on the internet of things it doesn't like being said. And that's, you know, it's a big story, and it's in the Telegraph today, but it's also, as I said, elsewhere as well. As well. What else have we got for you? Because I'm going to go in a minute. Mario Lopez hasn't turned up for work, or didn't yesterday. He's an actor, and he tweeted something about three-year-olds not being able to decide their own gender, and the PC perennially offended mob who live, whose oxygen is derived from manufacturing offence by finding things to be outraged by. And they went for this guy on Twitter yesterday. He works for NBC, this guy. And he said, well, three-year-olds can't decide their own gender. Leave them alone. So apparently he's transphobic. He's a hate speech monger. And, well, you know, we can't have that. I think he might have been referring to... Has Charlize Theron got a transgender kid? Or has adopted a transgender kid? Or... has a niece or something. I don't know. Charlize, who's a brilliant actress, by the way. I like Charlize Theron a lot. Is it her? Because it's in the Mail as well. He tweeted out, didn't he? My God, if you're 3 years old and you're saying you're feeling a certain way, or you think you're a boy or a girl or whatever the case may be, I just think it's dangerous as a parent to make this determination. I think he made a very common sense tweet there. Personally... But no, a lot of people covering this today. The Mail have covered it as well. Mario Lopez doesn't show up for work on Extra after apologising. Ah, yes, Charlize Theron. So it's her daughter. 7-year-old trans daughter. So I can't determine whether Charlize Theron's child... Yeah, she had a boy called Jackson, and Jackson now identifies as a girl. Okay. There you go. This guy said it's dangerous to support the transition when the children are very young. I would say he's right. But that's just me. That's just my opinion. I'm still laughing at the young Muslim jockey. Huh? They must be melting down on the right. Our culture. I'm laughing at that. Because I'm a big child. Speaking of racism, Ronald Reagan was racist. This speaks to, you know, the Major in Fawlty Towers. No, boy, no. Those people were wogs, said the Major, which wouldn't pass muster today, wouldn't pass the censors today. It's not a word we should use to describe anybody, the word wog, because it means gollywog. We shouldn't refer to people like that. Of course not, it's wrong. And I wouldn't have any qualms now about a black man or a woman if somebody called him a gollywog. If they got a dig in the face as a response, I'd say fair enough. Don't refer to people like that. But people did back in the day. Ronald Reagan was speaking to Richard Nixon when he was governor of California. And the phone call has been released. This is in the Guardian today. Lauren Gambino. Don't fuck with Lauren Gambino. The Guardian, huh? She's Joey Peeps Gambino's niece. She writes for the Guardian today. And he referred to African delegates to the United Nations as monkeys, saying that they were still uncomfortable wearing shoes. This was in a phone call that he had with, as I said, Richard Nixon. Let me find that there. And this is what he said. To watch that thing on television as I did, to see those monkeys from those African countries, damn them, they're still uncomfortable wearing shoes. he told Nixon, and Nixon laughed at him when he said that. So the recording was published in the Atlantic magazine in an article written by Tim Naftali. Naftali directed the Richard Nixon Presidential Library and Museum for 4 years. So there you go. I don't suppose African Americans will be too surprised by that. Reagan was an old man even then. Right? Of his time. Okay? And Reagan's parents, his uncles, his aunties, his grandparents, his upbringing, he would have been surrounded by people who would have referred to black people using all these rotten words that were used about black people. We know the words. Black people were called coons. They were called niggers, weren't they? And they were called a lot of other names as well by people of a certain era. And it was wrong then, as much as it's wrong now. But I wouldn't imagine too many black people would be surprised to learn that Richard Nixon was speaking with Ronald Reagan on the phone, and Ronald Reagan was saying these things. You know, there'll be a lot of people use those words today, I would imagine. And they will use them in private, and they will virtue signal in public, right? A lot of so-called lefties will virtue signal in public and talk about reparations. But I wonder what they're like in private, you know? You know? I don't know is the answer. I don't know. And in the most utterly useless, pointless story of the day, it's the last one now because it's 3 minutes to the ashes. Service stations are rip-off for food and fuel, says the Times. I mean, really? Did we need to commission an article on service stations, petrol stations, ripping us off for fuel and food? We know they are. We know that when the price of oil is low, they don't pass the savings on to the consumer. And we know that we get charged ridiculous prices when we have to go into a service station late in the evening because the other shops are closed. Jesus wept, we know this. Big story. Breaking news. Service stations rip you off. No way. Of course they do. I lived across the road from one. For years in Fallowfield. Rip off bastards. All of them. Right. Thank you for your lovely chat messages. Lovely. And Right, I'm going. I'll be back with you at 5. Pippa King, Biometrics and Schools, great lady. Anna Brees will be my guests. We will do it all again at 5. Until then, a proper professional radio show at 5 o'clock. Until then, look after yourselves. Have a good day. Have a good day. And look after yourselves. All right. Speak later.